scheduled meeting of the Madison Plains Board of Education. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Ms. Anitas?
Here.
Ms. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Botts?
Here.
Mr. English?
Here.
Mr. Eisler and I are also here.
Please stand for the pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I don't see anyone signed up for public communication, so we'll move to section B, or excuse me, C, board work session.
And, excuse me. My microphone is not working and Mr. Mustine's computer is not hooking up to the internet. So we've got some technical difficulties here. We are pleased to be able to, during the board work session, have the Dr. Martha Guy Memorial Cruising Committee come, and I believe they have a presentation for us.
Hi.
I just wanted to share a little bit about the Martha Guy Memorial and how it got started. Mm-hmm. So we started about 4 years ago. Marcy Bogenreif and I, we were talking to some car guys and wanted to do a cruise-in. And I said, okay, if we do something like that, we need to, it'd be nice to have a purpose of why we're doing a cruise-in, you know? And so we got together and we started the cruise-in about 4 years ago. And we have probably around 80 cars this year, so we have a good participation in that. Anyway, 2 years ago, we decided to add Madison Plains as one of the scholarship recipients. London was who we started with, and then we added Madison Plains. But Martha was a pediatrician, if you don't know. Martha Guy was a pediatrician in London. And Martha grew up in London, graduated from London High School, and then after college, she and Marshall came back here to raise their family, and she opened her practice. And Martha was always, even as a student, very active in the community. And one of Martha's philosophy, which I like to share that, was that she believed that communities need social capital to thrive. That means individuals who are willing to get involved. So scholarships to students are based on an essay that they write, and then how many volunteer hours that they do, what do they do to give back to the community. And this scholarship would not be possible without the hard work of the Martha Guy Cruise-In Committee, which is composed of Marcy Bogenreif, Melissa Caney, Bonnie Hamilton, Connie Dwyer, Terry Miller, and Christina Finney. The cruise-in is held on the last Sunday in July at the Bogenreif Family Farm down on Route 38, just south of London, a little bit north of here. Anyway, this time, Christina is going to accept the scholarship money for the Madison Plains Scholastic Boosters, and we are giving them $4,000 for a scholarship this year. So,
nice.
Sure. Can you get everybody in?
I can get everybody in. Everyone's okay. Up this way.
Should I kick the check out? Would that be a little more?
Yeah. Sure.
We're not going to be able to read it.
Yes. Great. Here. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Awesome. Great.
And we always invite Marshall. This is Martha's husband, and he's always been very supportive of our project, too. So.
Thank you very much for having us. Thank you. All right. Now I'd like to take a minute to recognize the life and impact in our district that Kelly Kreitz had for Madison Plains. His teaching career spanned over 40 years. I personally had him. He made a difference in my life, made a difference in the lives of a lot of students here in Madison Plains. So we just want to take a moment and recognize him and appreciate all that he's done. Thank you. So next we'll move to Section D, Approval of Board Minutes.
Mr. President, I make a motion that the minutes of September 10th, 2019 regular meeting be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinkas?
Yes.
Mr. English?
Yes.
Mr. Buds?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Next we'll move to Section E, Student Recognition.
And the very first group that we have for student recognition this evening is from our K-6 building. We have our 6th grade safety patrol for first quarter with us. So we will invite Mr. LeGros and Mr. Miller to the microphone.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us. We wanted to acknowledge these four individuals here. We have Bren Wallner, Alicia Keene, Carly Kelly, and Blake Bricker. They are a part of our second annual MPIS Safety Patrol program. It continues to build on the success of last year's startup. Numbers have increased from 24 patrol members to over 33 this year, and we have over 16 patrol spots in both the elementary and intermediate buildings. As patrollers, they have many tasks and responsibilities that allow them to stand out amongst their peers. A couple of them to note: safety awareness, leadership, teamwork, pride, citizenship, respect of law enforcement, peer-to-peer communication, and character building. These four patrollers have done a fantastic job this quarter. They're going to take a small break for second quarter, and they're going to start back up on third quarter for their second round of duty. Madison Plains and the AAA want to applaud you guys on your continuing efforts, dedication, and volunteerism as you strive to make Madison Plains Local Schools a safe, warm, and welcoming place for our students. Thank you guys for your service.
And for the second portion of our student recognition this evening, we have Miss Ann Berger, who will come to the podium. She is going to recognize our October Rotary Student of the Month, Miss Danielle Breen.
I get the pleasure of introducing Danny. And Danny is super involved at our school. She has a 3.92 grade point average. She's been in marching band for 6 years.
Wow.
She has been in drama club, chess club, Spanish club for 4 years, is in key club for 3 years, and is currently our president of our National Honor Society. And one of the questions we always ask our student of the month is what staff member has made an impact on them. And she said Signora Apala is an inspiration because she gives great advice on everything. She's traveled a lot and has a great understanding of the world. And then regarding Danielle, Signora Apala said, Danielle is a perceptive student and a joy to teach. She does her best on everything she does. She is very cognizant of her environment and gets along well with others. She is always willing to help others. And I can attest to that, because when we need help, Danny's one that steps up to
nice.
The plate. So on behalf of Congressman Stivers, we have a certificate of special recognition, or congressional recognition, for Danny, and then we will be honoring her at our Rotary Student of the Month.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Good job.
And all of those who are here from the Dr. Martha Guy Committee and our students who are recognized, at this point you are free to go. Probably most of what is going to happen after this will not be of much interest to most of you.
Yeah, empty.
And so, our next section of the board meeting is department reports, and this evening we are graced with Ms. Karen Grigsby, who is going to give us a report on our Madison Plains School District report card for 2019.
Just to give you the nuts and bolts of the report card, wanted to let you know, first of all, these are our overall grades. The district is given an overall grade, and then each building is also given an overall grade. As a district, our overall grade was a C, and it was, again, it was the same last year. Three of our four buildings earned Bs this year, and for one of those buildings, that was an increase from last year. The intermediate raised their overall score to a B. So we are getting closer to approaching that idea that our district might move up then to the B category, hopefully in the near future or higher. An overall look at our district grade card, this, and also showing you the three-year trends. The middle column there under 2019, where it's colored in, just gives you a quick visual of our grades in each area. Off to the right also, I wanted to put a little explanation to you there about where those scores come from. A common misconception is that the report card is always based off of just last year, and that's not the situation. Different measurements are based off of different years. Although much of the report card is based off of just a glimpse in time of spring tests at various points over the years. So just taking a quick look at each of those categories, one thing to note is not every category is weighted the same when they average our overall grade. The achievement and progress areas are weighted just a little bit more heavily than the other four areas of the report card. When we take a look at this, we did increase in the progress area. The progress area is the growth that we are making with students. It's not just based on how many of them pass the test, but are they achieving higher than was expected of them. So you can see that we continue to remain in that D category for the achievement rate, which is based purely on did 80% of your students pass a given test. But the progress measure is not about whether they passed it, but did they score higher than what was expected of them to score based on their previous years. And so we did finally reach over that hump of the B this past year, and we're at an A for the progress that we're making with our students. So that's certainly something that we want to celebrate with our staff. Another area that we increased was we brought our graduation rate back up to an A. It had dropped the previous years to a B. It's back up to an A. And just to make sure that we're all understanding, that's based on the graduating classes of 2017 and 2018. So it is not based on this class that just graduated. And there is a chance that that's going to drop again, because that particular class, we already know that there are students that did not graduate on time. We have a couple of those students in the high school now as fifth year seniors. So we're working towards making sure that they at least make the 5-year graduation rate. But we are aware that some of that data is not going to look as good next year as it did this year. Overall, though, our overall average did increase, and the graduation rate and the progress rate helped to show those increases. We had two areas where we dropped, and on the next slide, I'm going to explain to you why those two categories dropped. I'll do that by looking at each individual school report card. So we get an elementary report card, which is just for our K-3 students. Everything remained pretty much the same, except we're going to notice a drop in improving at-risk K-3 readers. That's an area that we've been quite proud of in the past year, that we had that B last year. Most of the school districts surrounding us are D's and F's in that category, or C's. A few of them have reached the C level this year. And that was an area that we were really standing out for other districts. We made a calculation, a calculated effort to not allow to take back some of the work that our kindergarten teachers were having to do with the number of reading improvement plans that they had to write, because in previous years, our students, or last year, our students were assessed very early on, like within those first few weeks of school. We waited until towards the end of October to assess them, so that there wouldn't be as many students who required the intensive reading interventions, monitoring plans, and what that did was made it harder for us to achieve that B again, because on the improving at-risk K-3 readers area, it is based on how many students you get off of a RIP. So when you have 100 students on a RIP 1 year and every kid counts as just 1%, it's easier, the numbers are higher when you get those kids off of RIMs. The problem is we reduced it way down to only about 16 kids who needed it in kindergarten. That meant every one of them who didn't get off of the RIP counted a great percentage of it, and that counted off for us. And so that caused us to take a little dip right there. It was well-intentioned on our part to do something to help our teachers and reduce some of their workload, because there were so many of those kids who really truly didn't need RIMs, but because of when we identified them, they were required to have them, but then that did cost us a little bit on the report card. So that's where that drop is coming from. Otherwise, everything else in that area looked pretty much the same as it had in the past when we dug into the numbers. On the intermediate report card, we saw a significant increase in the progress measure, and that really contributed to our overall progress as a district. When our intermediate increased from a C to an A, and they improved with all groups of students and earned an A with students with disabilities, which is an area in most other levels we do struggle with. So the fact that our intermediate did that, that really helped us as a district as well, and that's something that they should celebrate. We did take a little drop there on gap closing, and interestingly enough, it was because we didn't meet it with that subgroup of students with disabilities. So because we didn't meet the 60% that the state set out for gap closing with those groups, we took a dip there. But because they were achieving much higher than was expected of them, we saw an increase. So the thing that raised the intermediate was also the thing that caused the gap, was also the group that caused the dip in gap closing, because different measurements are figured differently. So, at the junior high, we saw a couple of areas of increase. They did see increase in their achievement. There was an increase in the performance index score, meaning that students were scoring higher than they had in the past. And then also their progress all pretty much stayed the same as last year, but their students in the lowest 20% of those in the state increased significantly. And so that also contributed to some positive effects on the junior high report card. We did, however, take a little dip in gap closing. And again, that was very similar to what we saw happening with the intermediate. In each subgroup in gap closing is expected to have at least 60%, and our students with disabilities subgroup in reading was 59.7, which we had a 100% in that area, but because we had a 59.7 with that one subgroup, they deducted a letter grade. So otherwise, that everything else in that gap closing measurement looked pretty much the same as it had in past years. At the high school, we saw a little bit more of an up and down. We did see an increase in achievement. We increased the number of indicators that we met at the high school. Last year, we had met it in biology, ELA 2, and the retake improvement indicator. But this year, we met it in mostly entirely different areas, American history, American government. We did meet the retake improvement again, but we also met the gifted indicator, which is an area that we hadn't been meeting before, mostly because of the amount of services that you're required to provide to make that gifted indicator, but we were able to reach that with the high school. We actually made it with the junior high as well. So that's a good thing as far as we are making increases in achievement, but you can see that because those are totally different areas, it really takes on the characteristics of each of those classes each year. So the class before them was much stronger in biology and ELA. The kids being tested this past spring were stronger in social studies. So we see a little bit variation, but it did end up being more indicators. The progress area, we took a little bit of a dip with the high school. And again, that comes back to students with disabilities and students in the lowest 20%. We took a dip with gap closing in the high school also, and that was related to math and specifically students with disabilities. So again, that area keeps coming up as an area that we need to focus some attention towards. And then of course, as was stated previously, we increased the four-year graduation rate actually by 7.3%, which is a significant increase. And so that helped the high school report card, even though we took a dip in a couple of areas, it helped us to maintain the same overall rating as we had in the past. The prepared for success measurement wasn't really much different at all than what it had been in the past. And again, that's an area that we know across the state, all schools are struggling with across the state to make to meet that measurement, because it is based primarily on your success on ACT scores and the number of students that earn honors diplomas. When you look at the grade distribution of our district compared to other districts, we have that C grade, and to the left, the upper left there, you see the statewide overall grade distribution. That puts us right in the middle about where everybody else in the state is. In Madison County, you see the same. There was one school that earned a B, two with C's and one with a D. And then when we compare ourselves to not just those in Madison County, but all of those in the surrounding districts, you see that we are performing comparably to other rural districts in our area. As far as the achievement measure goes, like I said before, achievement obviously is a goal of ours that we need to continue to work towards. We did earn a D again in that area, and that was the same as three out of the four districts in Madison County. Only one district in Madison County earned a C, and it was just a small percentage above the rest of us. And then when you look at that, comparing that to surrounding districts and counties, other rural districts, you see everybody's really pretty much in the same situation when it comes to that measurement. When we look at it in terms of progress and how much growth our students are making, we earned an A in that category. And you can see in Madison County, two of the districts earned A's, one earned a B, and one earned a D. So that puts us towards the top at Madison County. It also puts us in the top with other surrounding districts and rural districts within the Central Ohio area. So again, that's something to celebrate with our teachers. As we talk about that progress measure, I think it's important to notice that all of these areas are areas where we achieved in the green, which is that we are making more than expected growth, two standard deviations above what expected growth is. And so in all of those areas, you can see that we really were succeeding with our students in ways that the achievement measurement doesn't show. And then as we talk about that, how do all of those results play into our improvement plan, and what are our plans to go forward from here? We've been working on the Academic Advisory Council has been working towards the same goals now. We're on our third year with these goals, and that's how we set it out. It was a three-year plan. And it is based on three measurements, but the one that's most specific to the report card is to increase student academic growth and achievement in English, language, arts, and mathematics. Specifically, that goal lays out this, there's a lot of language there, I won't read it all to you, but lays out these goals and those growth targets that we monitor and work towards. We are looking for 90% of all of our K-12 measurements will meet expected growth targets in ELA and math, and 80% of students will pass the ELA and math tests. So that's what we're hoping for by the end of this year, and that's the three-year plan we've been working towards. And when you look at each of those, right now we're at 83% towards that 90% goal that we had laid out for ourselves a few years ago. And as far as student growth measures, being how much growth, how much progress are our students making? And then our goal being 80% passing ELA in math, currently 66% of our students are passing ELA in math state tests. That did not take into consideration though, now that I'm looking at it, what our students are doing in other ELA and math tests that are not state tests. And so that would be significantly higher if we were looking at what our K-3 or K-2 students are doing as well. So that'll be something that we'll be updating at the academic advisory meeting. So areas for focus that we know that we have to identify, and in talking with the principals, we know that we are focused strongly this year on grades 6, 8 in high school math, also grades 4, 7 in high school ELA, and our students with disabilities. Those are all areas that we're going to be monitoring closely throughout the year because we want to see a significant increase in both achievement and progress in those areas. One area that we're also going to be monitoring closely is third grade math and ELA, not because they're far from making those goals, but they're so close to making those goals. And we think with a little extra push, we can push them over into the 80% state indicator. So they're on that list for a little bit different reason. And then just so you have some ideas of the strategies that we will be using this year to monitor those areas, we do give the quarterly benchmarks and we'll be establishing targets for our students with those. We have data meetings already scheduled for those quarterly benchmarks that are going to be coming up in the next couple of weeks to see what progress our students this year are making so far. We continue to track that through our TBTs and Mastery Connect. I can say that I think at both the K-6 and the 7-12, the building leadership will really be focusing strongly on that TBT data in their BLT meetings, and that's something that I think we've made a lot of progress with at the K-6, and we're hoping to see that same progress at the 7-12 this year under Ann's leadership. And of course, we will be putting in staff improvement plans where we see that those are needed based on the results that we've seen, and some of those have already been put into place. And then we'll continue to evaluate our program specific to students with disabilities. In fact, we were doing that this past year, and we're implementing some new reading programs with our students with disabilities in the K-6 to hopefully increase what we're seeing with some of those. That last year we've kind of scoped out those programs and made some decisions on them, and then this year will be the implementation year with that. So that just gives you an idea of where we are and what our plans are to continue to move forward.
Thank you. I would just like to thank Mrs. Grigsby for the report and the presentation. It's very good information. It takes a lot of time to put that together. The report card is a very in-depth and complicated item, and she does a fantastic job of disaggregating that data and really pulling out the stuff that is important for us to know, whether it is positive or whether it's negative. Helping us to put plans together as well to work to improve. So she's to be given a lot of credit, and I thank her tremendously.
And I know I speak for the board, and we stand behind you. However we can support you, communicate with us. You know, we all have the same goal and continuing to improve what we can. So next we'll go to section G, board committee reports.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. The Finance Committee is our first committee tonight. That's the committee that I sit on with Mr. Mason and Mr. Butts, as well as Gordon Bricker from Mount Sterling. The discussion items that we had for this last Finance Committee meeting were we renewed a timeline, a compilation of a timeline for important dates for the district, so we can start thinking about that 10-year plan and how some of the various factors affect each other, whether that be union contract negotiations, or property reappraisals, or levy renewals, those type of timelines. So we got to look at that. We also looked at an early draft of our five-year forecast, which told us, supported our notion that, you know, the income tax is going to do what it said it would do. It would get us through fiscal year 23, which was what the board charged us with as an administration to pass a levy to get us through fiscal year 23. We'll do that, but if you remember, it would not get us through fiscal year 24. So that was an early indication at this meeting to start to advise the committees and the board that that fiscal year 24 will show up on the five-year forecast when it's presented next month. And it does not, it currently would be in the red in fiscal year 24. So that's the last year on our forecast now. So it brings it to light. Something, it's a challenge for the district that we will work to overcome. But that was part of the work of the Finance Committee to start to look out long range in those areas. The next thing we looked at, with the new biennial budget that was passed by the state, and we'll talk about a lot of these items here tonight in the board meeting itself, so I won't go into too much depth. But the governor awarded additional funds to school districts. He flat funded the district in the general fund revenues that we can account for, but he did award us additional funds and what's to be recorded in a 467 fund, which is a student wellness and success fund. It's to be used to support student mental health services, student physical health services, and some other areas as well. The good news is that we can use those funds to supplant efforts of the district that we're already supporting financially. So our school psychologist, our school nurse, all of those are acceptable uses that we, Madison Plains, currently provide to our students to support them both physically and mentally, and their physical and mental health. So we will be able to take those expenses out of the forecast as well, which should positively impact our bottom line at the district. The next thing that we spoke on is the tax anticipation note that will be on the agenda tonight. That's the same process that we had last year. It's due to having a low point in the months of December and January due to payrolls being throughout the year, but our funding for tax revenue only coming in twice a year. So it gets us through that low point. Until the income tax gets to full collection, that's still a necessary financial tool for the district. We haven't reached full collection yet. We will reach full collection next year. And that will be discussed in a five-year forecast next month. The other thing that we had, it was an update. We have our auditors on site doing our annual financial audit. Last year we had a clean audit. We hope to have a clean audit again this year. We have the same a team led by Mr. Ferguson again, who does a great job, did a great job for us last year, helped us out. And you know, we appreciate them and the work they do. So they are currently here at the district. And no problems so far, so that's good. And we also spoke about our next meeting date. Our next meeting day will have to be moved up a week due to the Capitol Conference being at the same time of our typical second Monday of the month meeting. So we're going to plan on scheduling that for November 4th at 5 p.m. And then another item that we did get into a little bit that I want to piggyback off of Ms. Grigsby's presentation. If you remember during the levy, we focused on the value in the district that the district provides at a low cost comparatively to surrounding districts, since we still perform at or better than most districts in Madison County and the surrounding area. We did bring up a small graph that showed that even with the income tax right now converted to an effective millage rate, we still have the lowest effective millage in all of Madison County, and the second lowest in Madison County and all surrounding districts that adjoin Madison Plains. By quite a degree, and we still, as you saw in the presentation, perform at a, you know, above average in the area as far as report card data is concerned. So I like to be able to do those joint presentations, and that wasn't the plan for tonight, but it's nice to be able to piggyback off of that a little bit and say that we're still providing a tremendous value here in Madison Plains for what we are given by the taxpayers in the district. Mr. Butts or Mr. Mason, anything else that you'd like to mention?
No.
Okay. That concludes the Finance Committee report.
So next is the Communication Committee report.
Yes, we have the Communication Committee met on Tuesday, September 24th at 5 o'clock p.m. in the district meeting room. Some things that were discussed in the meeting was the fact that we have launched the school district Instagram page. So that is up and running. We are excited about that. And we now have a school district YouTube channel. So we are excited about that as well. Mrs. Walker, who is one of our central office staff and also a communication committee member, has begun sending out a fun fact on Fridays, and she does this via email with the staff, and via social media, via the school district webpage, and the Facebook page, and I believe Instagram as well, sending out a fun fact to let folks know about the things that we are involved in as a district. And it has been fun to read those, so and I'm enjoying those. We're also very near to completion of the branding guide, which has been an important thing for us to do. I will be getting that to the board members here shortly, just a few little tweaks we need to make there. And that has been important for us because that will guide us in our website redesign and our development of the mobile app that we are working to develop. And that was the final thing that we talked about in the communication committee. So that those are the next big projects that we have. So excited about that. Our next meeting is Tuesday, October 22nd. I believe that is next week at 5 o'clock in the evening. That's when that group will convene.
Next is the Facilities and Grounds Committee.
Yes, and that group met on Tuesday, October 1st at 5 o'clock p.m. We discussed the need to develop a prioritized list of potential projects and the estimated costs. One item that we would like to have assessed is our roofs. The last time that was done was in 2016, and I believe Mr. Garrett is working on lining that up. We also spoke a little bit about the community engagement process that we are going to convene, hopefully in the not too distant future, with regard to our facilities, and that of course involves having a conversation with our community about the buildings. So, and then we have our board policy committee meeting. That group met on Tuesday, October 8th at 4:30 here in the district meeting room. We discussed a number of policies. And you have those before you this evening for your consideration. That group's next meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, November 12th, but also due to Capitol Conference, we probably will have to move that. So I will communicate with that committee about that date. And then finally, our Academic Advisory Committee, they meet on October 28th at, I believe, 3 o'clock for the first meeting of the year. Is it 3 or 3:15? 3:15. So that group will meet then. And that's all we have.
Thank you. Just like to reiterate that those committee meetings are always open to the public. They kind of move around a little bit, but we definitely, if you're interested in coming, it's open to anybody would like to come. Next, we move to Section H, Treasurer's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. First up are the financial statements. The spending plan, we spoke on the income tax a little earlier, but I just want to point out fairly quickly, our expenditures are flat in the district. The same time last year, we were up 3%. Right now, you can see on that bottom right graph, it is relatively flat across the board and has been for some time. That 3% is reflective of our negotiated increase in insurance costs this year. And then also on the spending plan, the black line is our estimate. I currently have the $1 million tax anticipation note figured in, receiving it in November and repaying it in February. So you see that black line does not fall below the red line, which would be zero. So that gets us through in a short amount of time as possible at as little cost as possible for financing that tax anticipation note. Without dropping below zero and continue to fund our payroll throughout the year. The green line here that you see that that's very close to the orange line. Now the orange line is the prior year amount. So our fund balances are actually tracking closer to our previous year's amount. So we haven't dipped right there. That's the effect of the income tax starting to come in. We have started to realize a portion of that. So it is starting to positively affect our ending balance. It's just not enough yet until we get to that full collection. But it is starting to do what we expected it to do. So that's all I have for the financial report. Again, the spending plan here lists the $1 million tax anticipation note being received in November and being repaid in February. So that should be at a cost of roughly $4,000 probably to the district to finance that, which again is unfortunate but necessary at this time to get us through. Okay, there are no questions on the finance report. The next item is the Fund 467, Student Wellness and Success Funds. Again, we're receiving approximately $130,000 this year, and we'll receive approximately $180,000 next year in those funds. Those funds, currently we have allocated to be used for school psychologist costs and school nurse costs, which would more than cover that $130,000 for us this year. And then next year, we may be looking at covering additional costs for the district, such as guidance counselor costs and things to that degree. But again, that helps positively affect our general fund balance to realize a larger bottom line for the district. So the state recommends that 467 fund, actually tells us that we have to put those funds there. But the board has to approve that fund. So that's the 467 fund, Student Wellness and Success. The next fund, we have a new fund for an 022 fund that we're asking to be added. This is for the purpose of accounting for the OHSAA events, tournament event costs that the district hosts. An 022 fund is an agency fund, which means they're not to be considered part of our normal operating receipts and expenditures. They're actually the OHSAA's monies that we are temporarily holding for them. So that's why we need that separate fund. There was actually a technical bulletin that went out back in 2013 recommending these accounts for districts to properly account for these monies. So that's why we are asking for the 22 fund. The next item is the amended appropriations. The amended appropriations are largely to account for the new Student Wellness and Success Funds. You see there, Fund 467 for $130,479. That amount's been pulled out and deducted from the general fund expected revenue. Because again, we had that figured in, being allowed to account for that in the general fund, and the state said, no, you have to account for that in a 467 fund. So no real difference between what we had before, it's just accounted for in a separate fund. The other piece is that we do have our carryover for our grants that have been appropriated for now, which increased these 400 and 500 fund counts, which are our state and federal grants. So those amounts increased as well. Along with that, the only other thing would be our increase in student activity budgets, where we've had student activity advisors turn in their forms to get their budgets in place. So we've appropriated additional funds and 200 funds for that. So any questions on the amended appropriations? Okay. Sorry if I'm moving fast, but there's a lot here, and I just want to try and get through it as efficiently as possible. And my mic died, so it's part of the report.
You want this one?
Sure.
Pass them down.
Yeah. The portal. Thank you. The next item is the tax anticipation note itself. Again, we spoke about the need for that. The resolution is lengthy when you go to approve it. But it basically says we're asking for $1 million that will be repaid in no more than 1 year. Again, we're not taking full advantage of that full 1 year because it costs us month to month and additional finance fees the longer we hold it. We only need it for a short period of time to get us through those months of December and January, ideally. So we look to be repaying that in February. The other item is a school bus purchase. We have a state purchasing that is done through META. In order to do that, we have to pass a resolution of our intent to purchase buses through META. So that is a separate resolution that you have there to approve to purchase two buses at the state contract pricing, which means that META does all the bidding for those vendors and gets and secures the lowest possible bid. And then districts utilize that purchasing to buy their buses based on that list. We have two buses that we're looking to purchase at roughly $89,000 a piece. And that is a definite need for the district. So you have three action items before you. The first one is the financial items consent. That's H8 through 11, which includes the financial statements, the Fund 467 fund, the 022 agency fund, and the amended appropriations. And then you have separate action items for the tax anticipation note resolution and the school bus purchase resolution. Okay. Any questions? That concludes my report.
Thank you.
motion that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial items H8 through H11.
Second. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. English?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve a resolution authorizing the issuance of not to exceed $1 million tax anticipation notes as presented and detailed below.
Second. Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. English?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
And Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve a resolution authorizing Meta Solutions Cooperative Advertising and receiving bids for bus or for school bus chassis and bodies as presented.
Second.
Discussion?
Again, that's two buses purchased for $89,000 that have been listed in your attachments as well.
Each.
Sorry, one more thing. That's out of the Permanent Improvement Fund. Mm-hmm. That's not a general fund expense. So that is the O3 Permanent Improvement Fund for that.
And they were budgeted in the PI?
They were already budgeted. Yes, we had $180,000 that had been appropriated for that expense. So we're within that.
And then you'll sell those old buses or
yeah,
keep
we'll,
those?
Yeah, we'll trade in. Ideally, we'll get trade in on those buses. It's a minimal amount, but that's in line with the recommendations we've had previously from the performance audit that said we don't need to maintain such a fleet of spare buses. We should be retaining less of those. So
yeah.
The last time that we purchased the bus, we did trade in a few buses then, and we'll probably, I think there's a couple that we can trade in this time as well. So.
Okay. Very good. Discussion's over. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. English?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Next, we'll move to Section I, Superintendent's Report.
Mrs. Anikas, may I have your...
Yeah, yeah.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Just a couple of things here. First, by way of conversation or discussion and question, the Capital Conference is Sunday, November 10th, Monday, November 11th, and Tuesday, November 12th. Just wanted to know if there are board members who would like to attend so that we can make appropriate reservations.
I cannot attend.
I cannot either.
I will be attending. Tolls. As everyone's aware, I'm on the tolls board as well, but they pay for me to attend through their funds, so I'll be attending, but not. You don't need to have a spot for me to pay for it.
Yeah, the reason it's important to know how many people are attending, one, to get you registered, but two, the group rate, if we exceed a number of reservations, it's more financially beneficial for us to register as a group as opposed to registering individually. So I think right now it looks like registering individually is probably going to be the best for us.
I'll be there. On the 11th and possibly 12th. I thought earlier in our agenda it said 4th. I don't know if something up there said move the meeting because of the November 4th meeting.
No, it's moving to the 4th.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did I miss a date? Okay, got it.
So that is all I have there. The next section on the agenda is policy and governance, and there are a number of policies there for your consideration.
Okay, Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the Superintendent, the Board approve policy and governance items J2 through J3.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. English?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to Section K, new business.
And just a couple of items of new business this evening. One is the authorization of the annual 8th grade trip to Washington, D.C. The second item there is the approval of the creation of the Business Professionals of America supplemental position.
Okay. Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the Superintendent, the Board approve business items K2 through K3.
Second.
Discussion? I just wanted to point out that this is part of that process that we discussed, I think it was last month, as far as supplementals, either bringing new supplementals on or also having always a look at, do we need to continue to have a particular supplemental? So this is how that process, I think, was intended to flow, and I appreciate, you know, the way you're doing this. There's a need for it. Is that the
yes.
position? So that's why it's here, and to, for the betterment of our students. And we, as always, we task you with keeping an eye on ones that aren't being utilized as much, because it's an area that we have the ability to not just automatically fill it if there's not the need for it. So I appreciate you following that process. All right. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Senecas?
Yes.
Mr. English?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
All right. Section L, personnel.
And just a number of personnel items there for you for your consideration this evening. Nothing too terribly out of the ordinary, I don't believe.
Okay. Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items L2 through L11.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. English?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Now move to Section M, donations.
And a couple of donations that are listed on the agenda this evening. I just need to find my place here, forgive me. One is an anonymous donation for $1,000 for our 7 through 12 Student of the Month program. So we are appreciative of that generous donation. And then we have a $25,000 donation from former Mount Sterling resident and Madison Plains graduate Stan Hansen to the general fund for the purpose of supporting our community engagement process regarding our facilities. And so we are grateful for that generous donation as well.
Very much so. I know Kelly knows Mr. Hansen well. He's been incredibly good to the district, and this is just another example of it, and to the community as well. Really,
it's all about the children, right? It's all about the kids, and how can we get things better for them?
Yes. So.
Okay. Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following donations as listed below: $1,000 from anonymous donor to the 712 principal account for the student of the month, and $25,000 from Mr. Stan Hansen and family to the general fund for the community engagement process regarding facilities.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Pulley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. English?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
There's no new items, so we'll move to Section O, the executive session. I move that we move into executive session at 7:51 p.m. for the purpose of the following items allowed under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G, Section 1, to consider the employment, compensation of a public employee or official, specifically discussing the superintendent and the treasurer.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. English?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
There'll be no action taken after the executive session. Our next regularly scheduled meeting is November 19th at 7 p.m. here at the district meeting room. Thank you.